Well, good afternoon, brethren. I hope you've had a wonderful week. It's a very exciting one for our household because, as I was remarking to Mr. Graham and others, for us at work it was leak week. We had so many leaking pipes and toilets. I worked overtime every night, which is a bit funny in a way, because I'm here to give Mr. Graham a bit of a rest. Perhaps he can take mine next week so I can get a rest. You know, brethren, God wants men and women of courage and boldness, right? Well, how come he called some of us then? I don't know how you are, but I know a lot of us fear the dentist, let alone going to doctors, let alone the thought of having to go to hospital for an operation. You know, some of us can't stand the sight of blood, especially our own. Perhaps you think we're not quite up to the Hebrews 11 standard of being bold, courageous, and filled with faith. Well, you know, you just might be wrong. Let's take a look at Hebrews 11 if you turn back there. And you know which chapter we're going to. This is called the faith chapter, and appropriately so. Because there's heroes many of us identify with. And there's one in particular I can identify with. And I think you can too, and shows that God does, despite our weaknesses, give us time to build faith. Okay, starting in Hebrews verse 1, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And then skipping to verse 7, by faith Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark. And I thought this was a good example because, as my wife mentioned to me, God gave him 120 years. And that's quite a long time to build faith. I don't know that any of us have that long. But I thought, yes, that's a good example. Okay, skipping across to verse 17. That's Hebrews 11, verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. Now, we know from the rest of the account in Genesis, it took him a while to get to that point too. Okay, now back to verse 32. Well, let's go to verse 31. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? I do not have the time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets. Now, there's one name there that I find very inspiring when you go back and read about him. That's the name of Gideon. So let's turn all the way back to Judges 6. I think you'll find pretty quickly why I can identify with this fella, and I think why most of us can't. Because we're not all necessarily King David's or even Mr. Norbert Link's, or other men who are bold and courageous and get up there and tell it the way it is. Okay, going to Judges 6, verse 1. Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Eternal, and for 7 years he gave them into the hand of the Midianites. And then verse 3 refers to the fact that whenever the Israelites planted their crops, the Midianites, Amalekites, and all the otherites came in and promptly destroyed them. Very distressful time. And there were so many of them. Verse 6, Midian so impoverished the Israelites that they cried out to the Eternal for help. When the Israelites cried to the Eternal, verse 7, because of Midian, he sent them a prophet who told them that they had forgotten to obey him. Then it goes down to verse 11, and you've got the account of the angel appearing under the oak, appearing to Gideon. Now, verse 12, I'd like you to note this. Verse 12, when the angel of the Eternal appeared to Gideon, he said, the Eternal is with you, mighty warrior, or as the New King James Version has it, mighty man of valor. Now that should be encouraging when an angel appears personally, and if they told us that, wouldn't you feel really bold and encouraged? Well, I would think so. But then verse 13, Gideon replied, if the Eternal is with us, why has all this happened to us? And why have these things come on us? Basically, to sum up what was said. So verse 14, The Eternal turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" Boy, talk about encouragement. In the strength of your hand. But don't we frequently think, who, me? You sure it's not the guy behind me that he's talking to? And it appears this is how Gideon was reacting. So what did Gideon say? Surely now say, right on, I'm with you. Verse 15. But Eternal Gideon asked, "How can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm least in my family." Doesn't that sound familiar? If you go back to 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, don't do it, but as a reference, verse 26 through 27 of 1 Corinthians, what does it talk about? It talks about God calling the weak of the world. And I thought, isn't that interesting? It almost seems to be, it's got to be a prerequisite to be called that you be weak, not that you be mighty. But of course, not that you stay that way, because again, I'm convinced that's part of the lesson we're going to see with Gideon. So in response to Gideon's protest about being weak, the Eternal answered, verse 16, "I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites together," or as one man, as the New King James Version is. So now, surely Gideon should feel encouraged. What does he say? Gideon replied, verse 17, If now I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that it is really you talking to me. If. This is an interrogatory in the Hebrew called im, I-M. And it shows that he's not really certain. It's somewhat conditional. So verse 18, Gideon says, okay, please don't go away till I come back and present an offering. Okay, so he presents the offering. He puts it on a rock as instructed. The flames, woof, come out of the rock and burn up the sacrifice. Man, wouldn't you feel inspired by that? Well, God is very patient, forbearing, and again, I'm sure that's part of the lesson. So let's go down to after this inspiring situation, verse 24. So Gideon built an altar to the Eternal and called it "The Lord is Peace." And then skipping down to verse 25. That same night, the Eternal said to him, now Gideon had a lot of conversation with the Eternal. I'm not sure how he spoke to him, but he obviously got the message. And I think anyone should feel encouraged if you really know God is talking with you. That same night, the Eternal said to him, take the second bull from your father's herd, the one 7 years old. Tear down your father's altar to Baal and cut down the Asherah pole beside it. Again, this is the NIV, which I happened to discover long before people in our former congregation did. And I like it for the wording. Then build a proper kind of altar to the Eternal, your God, on top of this height, using the wood of the Asherah pole you cut down. Offer the second bull as a burnt offering. Verse 27, so bold, courageous Gideon takes 10 of his servants and did as the Eternal told him. He's off to a good start. But the only problem was, because he was afraid of his family and the men of the town, he did it at night rather than in the daytime. So it shows, you know, he's getting a little bolder, but he's still a little fearful. So then we go through where the men of the town, verse 30, demanded Joash, Gideon's father, bring out his son and die. But Gideon's dad wasn't exactly completely thick, as the Irish would say, or the English. He challenged the people who worshipped Baal to, you know, let Baal contend with him because he broke down his altar. So then, this is an interesting factor too, down to verse 34, then the Spirit of the Eternal came up upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet summoning the Abiezerites to follow him. Now I thought, that's interesting, isn't it? Because at one point, the townsmen are after him because he destroyed their altar, but then he blows the trumpet. Well, it's pretty obvious why, because all the Midianites and Amalekites, verse 33, had come down to attack the land. And it's funny how in adversity, people tend to come together. Albeit, in this case, temporarily, but at least it pulled them together because of common threat, as we've experienced in the church in the past. So, okay, Gideon blows the trumpet, and all the men gather to him. So finally, Gideon must really feel bold and confident, right? Okay, verse 36, what does he say? Gideon said to the Eternal, to God, if, there's that big word again, If you will save Israel by my hand, as you have promised, he notes, he says it's a promise, look, I'll place a wool fleece on the threshing floor. And he said, you know, let the dew be only on the fleece and the ground be dry. So God grants him that very profound miracle. Then Gideon, verse 39, says to God, don't be angry with me. Let me make just one more request. Allow me one more test with the fleece. This time let the fleece be dry and the ground wet. Lo and behold, it occurred. Now that's way beyond coincidence, though some people might say it is that. So now Gideon must really feel reasonably confident. So down to chapter 7. I think most of us are familiar with this. Gideon gathers the men, and the Eternal says to him, you've got too many. So then he says, verse 3, announce now to the people, anyone who trembles with fear may turn back and leave Mount Gilead. So 22,000 left, while 10,000 remained. Well, if we're a little fearful, we're not in the minority, are we? Because here it was, what, over two-thirds? 22,000. So then, you know, after that, God sorted them out, that only 300 wound up, because he wanted to show Israel that it was his power doing it. And that's why he used the 300. And Gideon, bold, courageous Gideon, who I think it would be appropriate if you called Gideon the chicken heart, because we could identify with him. But don't forget, God called him a man of valor, right? And he's listed as amongst those men of faith in Hebrews 11, so we should be able to identify with him, because he gave Gideon time. Okay, so there's 300 left. Now, I grant you, 300 left out of 32,000, it's less than 1%. I think it's 0.945 or something. Sounds a bit like the church now, doesn't it? We're down to a very few of them remaining firmly and faithfully with the truth. So, okay, with the 300. So maybe he pauses. Boy, that's not too many. You sure you want me to do it with this few? Okay, so we go to verse, nine. During the night, the Eternal said to Gideon, get up and go down against the camp, because I'm going to give it into your hands. Verse 10, if you are afraid to attack and go down to the camp with your servant Purah and listen to what they are saying. Afterward, you will be encouraged to attack the camp. So then what did Gideon do? Gideon arrived outside this tent just as a man was telling his friend a dream about this round loaf of barley bread tumbling into the Midianite camp. And it struck the tent with such force that the tent overturned and collapsed. Now, you know, just as Gideon knew, no coincidence, folks. That's an impossibility for that to be a coincidence, especially when people are named. God's Spirit was obviously moving this fellow who was totally unconverted. And this person's friend responded, this can be nothing other than the sword of Gideon, son of Joash, the Israelite. God has given the Midianites and the whole camp into his hands. And finally, verse 15, when Gideon heard the dream and its interpretation, he worshipped God. He returned to the camp of Israel and called out, get up! The Eternal has given the Midianite camp into your hands. And you know the rest of the story. So yes, in that respect, I find this a very encouraging and helpful example, and I hope you will too, because it's obvious when we look around that there's not a lot of us who are big and strong and mighty, as 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, mentions. And I think this is one very good example where God obviously gives us time. He allows us to persevere. Sure, he tries and tests us. But like I said, we don't have to be great men in the same category as King David, or even as bold, as confident, and as confident as some of those God has placed in ministry, because it does take confidence and boldness to face up to individuals, to stand up and talk with them, and correct, and even berate when necessary. So I think you can see, God can use anyone, even chicken hearts like Gideon and like us.